Christos anesti.
Alitos anesti.
Christ is risen. He is truly risen. These words in Greek are how people greeted each other at Easter in the early centuries of the church. And it's still how Greek Orthodox Christians greet each other during this Easter season. Instead of Happy Easter, it's that Christos anesti. And the response is, He is truly risen. Alitos anesti. I always find that kind of inspiring. It's so reassuring and hopeful at the same time. Plus, it's kind of fun to say things in Greek every once in a while, especially if you get to say them loud. Christos Anesti. And at the same time, it is what we believe. That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That this isn't some farce or a cruel joke or wishful thinking. He is truly risen from the dead. He really did die for us. He took our sins upon himself and died in our place. And God the Father could not bear to be separated from his son, so he raised him from the dead. He accepted his sacrifice and made that sacrifice holy by raising him from the dead and bringing him into heaven. And Peter is testifying to that in that first reading we heard. Peter says that God raised Jesus on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses. You know, when I think about it, how Jesus appears to those witnesses, that has a lot to say to us today. In our situation, with all the isolation and the distancing, Jesus first appears to Mary Magdalene. As we heard today, Jesus' friend goes to the tomb by herself to pray, I suppose. And when she finds the stone rolled away, she's frightened. When Peter and John go in and find that it's empty, they run back. But Mary stays, and she begins to cry. All she wants is to find his body, to weep and to properly mourn her friend. It's in her loneliness that she encounters Jesus. It's his voice she recognizes first, calling her by name while she is alone. Jesus appears to Mary. He consoles her and he implores her to be a witness to others. That's the first time Jesus appears. Later that day, he's going to appear to two disciples, Cleopas and, well, presumably his wife, while they're walking back to their home in Emmaus. Jesus will walk with them and recount to them how everything in the scriptures point to this moment of the resurrection. He will eat with them. And while they run back to Jerusalem to tell others, the others who are locked away in a room together, Jesus will appear to those disciples too. That's the third appearance, all in the same day. Jesus will enter into that locked room where his friends are hiding out. They're afraid to be seen in public. These are his closest friends. These are the ones he celebrated that Last Supper with before he was betrayed and died. And he will tell them, "Peace be with you. My peace I give you." And then he gives them his Holy Spirit. And he tells them to go out and to be witnesses to all of this. For 40 days, he appears to people who knew him, but always in small groups. Only once, just before he ascends to heaven, does he appear to a large crowd of 500. All the other times, it's to one person alone. It's to a couple walking. It's to a small group in a home. It's to, you know, other small groups, to a few friends working together, fishing. For centuries, Easter has been a time when we Christians come together in large numbers. We go to churches and cathedrals and basilicas, and it's great. I love the large crowds. I love seeing all these people coming into our parish, into St. Ignatius, which is all wonderfully decorated at Easter with lilies and all sorts of flowers. You know, for us here at St. Ignatius, Christmas and Easter are the only times that we have to open up the choir loft because there are so many people coming into our church. This is a picture from, I didn't have a picture from Easter. This is a picture from last Christmas. See how, I mean, it's just so warm. It's so inviting. It's so, you can't be close. Like there, it's frighteningly lack of social distancing going on right there at Christmas. But still, coming together as God's people, that I love when we're able to do that. I love greeting everyone as they come in and wishing everyone a happy Easter on the way out. And I even get to say Christos Anesti to one or two Orthodox Christians who come to our church and who know the response. This year, our churches and our basilicas and our cathedrals, they're empty. This year, I don't get to see all the smiling faces of the people I love, my parishioners. This year, I don't get to make the same bad jokes while going through the congregation, sprinkling everyone with holy water. This year, no one will laugh and tell me, "Hey, don't quit your day job, Father," after they hear me sing the double alleluia at the end of the Mass. This year, the choir loft is now our production studio. This year, I had to teach Kevin how to respond, "Alito Sanesti," just so I get to say it. And I miss it all. I truly do. I missed not baptizing and confirming our candidates last night. I miss it all. And I know many of you do too. I know we have people watching from all over, from other parishes in Montreal, people from across the country and the world even. And many of you miss your own parish and all of your local Easter traditions. And I get it. I'm sure we also have people watching for whom all of this is new. For some of you, a local church community has not been part of your Easter tradition. Maybe Easter has been a family gathering or a long weekend to you. And all of this resurrection stuff is new and it seems strange. That's okay. I'm actually glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Because Easter is real. The resurrection is real. Jesus died because of my sins. And he is truly risen. Alito Sanesti. To me, and for those of us who believe, we need to recognize the reality of that very first Easter. I need to recognize that because of Easter, death will not be the end. It will not be the end of me. And that my sins are not the sum of who I am. Because of Jesus, I am a child of God, loved by him. That's the reality of Easter, and I need to recognize it today. And I also need to recognize Jesus' desire for me to be a witness. The risen Jesus didn't appear to some large faceless crowd. He appeared to a woman who was weeping and mourning. He appeared to a couple walking home confused and bewildered. He appeared to friends hiding out in a home. That is our current situation. Some of us right now are alone. Some others are just a couple. Some are a small family. That is the first Easter. That is how Jesus first appeared. And to everyone who encountered that risen Jesus, he sent them out as a witness. He sent Mary to tell the other disciples. He sent the disciples of Emmaus to tell them too. To the small group of disciples, he gave his spirit and told them to spread the good news. And to each and every one, he gave them his peace. Gave them his peace, and oh, how that peace is sorely needed now. That is who the risen Lord is. I have met him. I have heard him tell me that he is real. I have felt the Father's love overwhelm me. I have felt the Holy Spirit wash over me and tell me that I can do what he is calling me to. Even when I know I'm unworthy and have neither the talent nor the means, I know he's asking me to spread the good news of the risen Lord. And I know that because of the Spirit, together we were going to build a parish that will be a light and a beacon and a place where missionary disciples are sent out, like those first disciples, to spread that good news. I didn't know it was going to be online. That wasn't what I thought. But regardless, we are going to build it. That first Easter was like the one we are living now, more than we are ever aware. We're living alone or cut off. We're afraid and uncertain of what the future holds. We don't know when we'll be able to return to normal or what normal will look like when we do. The risen Jesus wants to come to you, whoever you are and wherever you are. He wants to come into your home, into your isolation, into your marriage, into your family. He wants to come into your work, however that's happening now, or even your lack of work. He wants to come into every part of your life. He wants you to encounter him. He wants you to be filled with his peace, his spirit, his joy, and he wants you to be filled with his boldness. He wants you to know, as Peter says, that all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This Easter, I believe that the risen Lord wants you to encounter him wherever you are, whoever you are. Wherever you are physically and wherever you are in your life, too. So I urge you during this week to read one of the Gospels, to open your Bible and go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If you don't have a Bible at home, there are plenty of online Bibles you can look at, plenty of apps you can download. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Ask him to come to you, to come into your home, to come into your life. Promise that if you do, your life will be better. Your circumstances may or may not change, but your outlook and your life will. He will bring joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the midst of anger and fear. He will bring reconciliation and forgiveness and fullness of life, regardless of the circumstances you're living right now. So yes, this year, the churches and the cathedrals and the basilicas, they're all empty. But so is the tomb. For now, Jesus doesn't need you to come to church. He will one day, because he wants you to come to him in the sacraments and to join together as his people. But for now, right now, for the first Easter in our new reality, he will come to you. He will come to you because Christos Anesti, Alitos Anesti.